Also, our opening hymn you'll see is hymn 470. We'll sing verses 1 through 5 at this time, and we'll pick up with the rest of it then at the office hymn section of the service. And so we'll sing the whole hymn in those two parts. Before we begin our service then, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, we know that in this world we face many difficult things. Among them, perhaps the most difficult is facing death. We know that through your Son, Jesus Christ, death has been defeated, and that we have the promise of eternal life with you in your kingdom, where there's peace, joy, comfort, and hope. Grant that we might stay in the faith throughout all of our days of this earthly pilgrimage, so that we might enter with you into your eternal kingdom. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. Begin our service then with hymn 470, verses 1 through 5.
The service of Matins found on page 219. Please stand.
O Lord, open my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the
blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
We sing the introit as it's printed for us.
Thank you.
You may be seated for our office hymn number 470, verses 6 through 9. Old Testament reading for the second Sunday of Easter is from Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. It was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 John chapter 5. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe, God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We speak now the gradual appointed for today. We will skip the gradual appointed for today and go right to the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 20th chapter. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the Easter responsory found on page 222. Sing to the Lord and bless his name.
proclaim his salvation from day to day. Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that sleep. To the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he did so by the power of his holy word. He spoke words, "Let there be," and the words that he spoke became things. And he created mankind by kneeling in the dust of this newly formed earth and forming it into the shape of a man. Picture that. God playing in the dirt and turning it into the shape of a human. And when ready, he knelt down and he breathed his word, the very breath of life itself, into the man. And the man became a living being. There was joy with God at his new creation. He spoke about all that he had made, heaven, earth, plants, animals, man and woman. And he said that all of it was very good. For his word had begun its work. The Word of God is a powerful thing, bringing into existence things out of nothing. But soon after, sin also entered the world. Not from God, but from us. And sin is nothing more than a disobedience of God's word. And with sin came death, and with death came fear. Fear about what happens when we die. Will it hurt? How long will it take? Where do we go? When will we die? And facing all of this, how can we be certain? With the disobedience of God's word, mankind began to live in fear of death and all that goes with it. Thus begins the refrain of Scripture. Adam and Eve, in fear of death, when they found out what they had done, tried to hide and cover up their mess with leaves in the garden. They tried to keep what they had done from God, the same way that you try to keep the broken window from Mom and Dad. But mere leaves could not cover what they had done. Blood would have to be shed. An animal killed to cover sin. And even with that, they died. Adam died. Eve died. Their son Abel was murdered by their other son, Cain. And Cain himself also died. Their third son, Seth, died. Jared died. Noah died. Shem died. Abraham died. Isaac died. Jacob died. Joseph and Judah died. All of them. Some were old. Some were not. Some died painfully. Some peacefully. One thing is true, all of those listed deserved death, for all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin leads to death, and as they awaited the result of their sin, they felt fear of death. Jacob was afraid that Esau would kill him. Moses was afraid Pharaoh would put him to death for the murdering of an Egyptian. The people of Egypt were afraid of starving to death in the wilderness. More afraid of that, in fact, than they were of slavery. David was afraid his son Absalom would wrest the kingdom from him and murder him. King Hezekiah wept when he was told by the Lord that he would soon die. They were afraid of what was coming. And each died all the same in their own time. That's the refrain that continues throughout all of Scripture. Death and fear. Fear and death. All died over and over and over. Millions, billions whose lives have been snuffed out because of sin. Sin has a 100% death rate. And all those who died are a veritable valley filled with dead sinners, as Ezekiel sees in our Old Testament lesson. Ezekiel sees you there. He sees me there in that valley of dead, dried bones. Imagine all the dead piled up in one place. That is our Old Testament lesson. And God asks Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these dead bones live?" And the answer seems obvious. No. Not with sin. Sin kills. Death is forever. All will die. You, me, our friends, our neighbors. What a terrible thought. We'll die. What good will our money be then? Or our car? Or our home? What app on your smartphone will stop death? What hospital could save you forever? One day, you will return to dust. We know it's true. And it breeds fear within us. The disciples felt that fear in our gospel lesson for today as well. Jesus was arrested and they ran away. Why? So they wouldn't be arrested like him. They locked themselves in the upper room. Why? So that the Jews couldn't arrest them and kill them as they had Jesus. Thomas ran further away, not wanting to even get caught with the others. It's easier to arrest a whole group rather than individuals on the run separately. Even after the news came that Jesus might have been raised from the dead, they are still afraid, afraid that what he had said was true, that he was God, and that they had abandoned him at his moment of need, and that in his resurrection, he'd return to seek revenge, to bring divine retribution for what they had done to him. They're afraid that when they show their face, they'll be dead. They lock the door in fear as an attempt to keep certain death out. And maybe they do keep death out of that room, but they cannot keep Jesus, who is alive, out. He's risen, risen indeed. The grave could not hold him. He has not returned to the dust of the ground. He returns to life. He lives. And he comes to find the disciples. In his first word, "Peace be with you." He shows them his wounds, the wounds which earned their forgiveness of sins. "Peace be with you, because these wounds have earned your forgiveness. Peace that flies in the face of the fear of death. Peace be with you. Death has been destroyed and defeated. Peace, because the grave has been broken." Jesus returns later and finds Thomas, and the message is the same. Be not afraid. Peace be with you. Don't disbelieve, but believe that the grave has forever been destroyed. Not only that, but Jesus, the very God who breathed life into Adam in the Garden of Eden, in the very beginning, he also breathes on his disciples. He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins, they are forgiven." God breathes out the breath of life in the words of absolution. With that breath of life, they're no longer dust awaiting death. With that breath, prophesied by Ezekiel, the valley of dry bones that consists of all the sinners of the world begins to come to life. Once it had been sin and death and fear. But with Easter, now there is forgiveness, life, and joy. It's a joy that is yours as well. The breath of life has been breathed into you as you are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. For do you not know that you have already died in your baptism with Jesus? And if you died with him, you already have been raised with him. And you eat the very living body and blood of Jesus, the resurrected body and blood of Jesus. It is not dead bread, but living Christ. And you are what you eat. God also breathes his breath upon you. You hear his word, and thus you receive his Holy Spirit. You confess your sins and hear that they are forgiven. And just so, you can be certain, know this, It is true. Your sins absolutely are forgiven. That is the breath of life God speaks to your ears by sinful pastors. And since your sins are forgiven, you have life. For wherever there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. So be glad. Feel joy. Your Lord has arisen. Your death is destroyed. You shall live. You shall have peace. You are recreated by God, returned to life from death. Now, to be clear, I am not saying that one day you will not face death. You will. I will. But even as we face death in this world, we need not fear it. It holds no power over us. The same disciples who locked themselves away in fear, once they had received the Holy Spirit, went to all the corners of the globe and preached unafraid. Peter, Andrew, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Philip were all crucified for the word they spoke. James and Matthew were killed with the sword. Doubting Thomas was speared to death in India. James the Lesser was clubbed to the head. Bartholomew was skinned alive and beheaded. Out of the 12, only John died an old man. And yet, they were unafraid. They were still in the peace that Jesus had spoken into their lives and their ears. They were unafraid because they knew that they would still live forever, even though they died. They were unafraid because they knew death was not their end. Their brief suffering could not compare with the joy of eternal life with God in heaven. Christ has gone first, and they would follow after. Into death, and through it, into life. Dear Christians, you will follow also. Unless Christ returns first, you will leave this world. Maybe soon, maybe far off. Maybe quickly, maybe slowly. We will all die. But know this, it will not be our end. We will live as Christ lives, even through death. Our body may decay, it may be dead, dry bones, but Christ will raise it. The breath of life will enter us again, and we shall live. That is our Easter certainty. Of that we can be sure. Death is a dog with no teeth. It's been defeated. We need not be afraid. We need not die in fear. Our sin is forgiven, and we shall live forever. For Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.
And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we continue our service by standing and singing together the Te Deum, found on page 223 in your hymnal, page 223. We sing.
Oh,
again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the resurrected one who has defeated death in the grave. This time we invite you to participate in what we call the Rite of Fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. Visitors, if you'll include your name in there, we'd like to acknowledge your presence with us. We also want to thank all those listening and worshiping with us online as well. This time also we'll collect our offering.
Let us stand for prayer.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer,
and let my cry come to you.
Almighty God, grant that we who have celebrated the Lord's resurrection may by your grace confess in our life and conversation that Jesus is Lord and God. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, you have delivered us from our bondage to the devil when you made us your own children in holy baptism. Fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may be sustained in the faith that overcomes the world, so that our lips would never cease confessing with St. Thomas that your Son, Jesus Christ, is our Lord and our God. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, your Son breathed on his disciples and gave them the Holy Spirit, thus ordaining them into the office of the holy ministry, that repentance and the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name throughout the world. Continue to rise up for us faithful men to serve in the apostolic ministry and bless their service among your people. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, you have gathered us together into the fellowship of this congregation of saints. Bless us with hearts and minds that long for the pure spiritual milk of your word. And let us never tire of supporting the gracious work you do among us here. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, remember your children who have wandered from the household of faith. Faithful to your promises, work all things in their lives to remind them of their need for your unending grace and steadfast love, that they might return to the faith and rejoice in your Son, who has died and is risen for them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Gracious God, look with mercy upon all who suffer in this valley of tears. Especially today we bring before you Jeanette, Jared, Lori, Ken, Tish, Sharon, Joe, Bob, Celeste, Ed, Norma, Sheldon, Todd, Dan, Cindy, Kim, Barb, Rachel, Joe, Karen, Bud, Lori, Vern, Callie, Richard, Irma, Louise, Mildred, Ruth, Rahama, and all others that we now name in our hearts. Provide them with loving and compassionate care, and comfort them with the reminder that everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and that believing in Jesus Christ, they may have life in his name. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings being ordered by your governance may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.
We continue with our closing hymn, number 488. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Glad to have you. Like I said earlier, we want to draw your attention to the Good Shepherd news and notes. If you don't have one, there should be some more in the back. Lots of activities going on. Next Saturday, there is a cleanup day here at the church. Try and get the spring cleaning done, if you will. That's from 9 until noon. If you have any questions, contact one of the Board of Properties people. They'll be happy to give you more details for that. Next Sunday, there is church, but there's also the Lincoln Marathon. And so you'll see there's a few notes about how to get to church. It might take you a little longer than normal with a different route. Take a look at that. Think about that a little bit ahead. Don't run over any joggers or runners, but do plan on coming to church all the same. On Wednesday, we have confirmation at its normal time, and then our Wednesday services as well. This morning, there is Bible study in the fellowship hall. We'll be continuing to look at Romans and talking about boasting. On Thursday, we'll be into our second session looking at the book of Judges for Lifelight Bible study. So come to that as well. Wednesday evening, still have Bible study going, also following the worship service on that day. So all those opportunities for being in God's Word in the next week. Vicar, any other announcements I'm forgetting? Oh, yeah. Yes, Easter lilies, and I believe they're back here, correct? If you bought a Easter lily, feel free to pick it up. They're in the entryway back there, sitting on the floor, so grab those. We'll try and have them all gone before Pastor Poppy comes back and starts sneezing through the whole service or whatever will happen there. Any other announcements I've forgotten? If not, have a great day. Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah.